Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the rental crisis is continuing, of course, and there are significant shortages of properties to rent, not just in Dublin, but cities like Kilkenny, Limerick, Cork and Waterford are also experiencing rental shortages. Our reporter Brian O'Connell spent time yesterday scanning aspects of the rental market and looking at what's available. So, Brian, what have you found?
Morning, Claire. I spent time on daft.ie. It's one of the largest property websites for short and long-term rentals and sales. Now, a word of caution, I suppose it's not all properties that are available for rent, and I suppose it's hard to say how many properties would be available outside of DAFT through, for example, local networks or online groups on social media. But obviously DAFT.ie does have a significant market share, so it gives us a very good indication. Yesterday on DAFT, just over 1,800 properties available to rent for the whole of the country. That compares to, if you go back to 2010, on one particular day, there were 9,000. So a massive reduction in the number of properties for rent. And then I had a look yesterday at what is available in our cities to rent. As you'd expect, Claire, the highest number available is in Dublin City. Half of all the rental properties, just over 980 available yesterday in Dublin. That is a very significant decrease, again, if you go back to, say, 10 years ago. Prices then, I just had a quick scan of roughly the top and the lower end of the market. So you're looking at the top end of the market in Dublin City, a four-bed in Sandy Cove, renting for €5,000 per week. On Raglan Road, obviously a very exclusive address, you're going to pay £16,000 a month for a five bed. And then the cheapest or the lowest I could find, a one bed studio, about £700 a month, further out in the suburbs, but there were very, very few of them around that price range, I have to say. If we look at Cork City, even lower number of rental properties available yesterday on DAFT per head population, just 50 properties available in Cork City yesterday on DAFT. And then I wanted to look as well as at Limerick, at Waterford, Galway and Kilkenny, so we'll get to them as well.
All right, now there are others tracking these numbers, particularly in relation to the HAP scheme. You have the Simon community keeping a close eye.
Every quarter, the Simon community bring out a report called Locked Out, and they look at what's available to a family who's entitled to the housing assistance payment, or HAP as it's known. So it would be the gap between that payment and the market rent. Now, the average rent nationally is just over €1,800 at present. With HAP, it should be said, there's also a discretionary rate available, so you could get up to 50% extra in Dublin and in 35% elsewhere. The most recent Simon Communities report was in March, so a couple of months ago. It found just under 40 properties were available under the standard HAP limits in 16 areas they focused on. And in 10 of the areas, including Cork City, County, Limerick, Sligo, Portlaoise, Waterford, no properties at all available within those HAP limits.
Right. And you spoke to some people who are trying to get property using that scheme, HAP.
I spoke to two women who've been desperately trying for various lengths of time to try and get property. Both qualify for HAP. They expect to have to pay a top-up payment as well. The first person has two children. She's been living in her partner's house until recently. And because it was taking so long to find somewhere, many years in her case, it's no longer possible. And the second voice you're going to hear, Claire, is someone who's now in temporary accommodation because they also are finding it very, very difficult to get anywhere.
Like 4 years, I've been looking for a HAP property.
How much are you able to get through HAP at the moment?
Well, with my first child and me, it was £1,215 a month. And then when I had my daughter and my partner, I'm now entitled to £1,250 a month. I mean, you can't get a two or three bedroom out there for that much.
And tell me what happens when you go to viewings or you contact landlords and you say you're going to apply under HAP?
I email them, they could email you back, and you're meant to go and view the house or the apartment or whatever, and then you say, oh, do you accept HAP? And, even in that message, you could say, by law, you're meant to, and you'll either just get ignored. Don't get me wrong, a house is a house, you know what I mean? It's a roof over your head, but they're in the worst condition ever. You wouldn't be able to have kids in half of the properties that they put out there, and then properties that you would be able to have kids in, it's nearly £3,000 for a place.
So do you look every day?
Every day without fail. I could go into DAFT three times a day, and I'll just search and search and search. It's a joke, but it's just in case even one new property comes up on it.
I am with my two kids in temporary accommodation, and it's very hard for me to find anything because my daughter, she got epilepsy 2 months ago, and it's very hard for me to go to work for now.
How much of a budget do you have?
1,900.
1,900, that's how much HAP is. And the properties you were looking at, how much are they?
2,250, 2,300, something like this.
How difficult is it at the moment?
It's very difficult. I send maybe about 300 messages everywhere, every in Dublin, everywhere, because I don't care right now when will I leave. Like, I have to travel with them with two trains every day. I'm looking something in Malahide, Portmanoc, Holt, Donamit, Balgriffin, Baldoyes, somewhere.
When you tell landlords that you're availing of HAP, what happens? What do they say?
They don't even want to answer when I message them, because now it's impossible to get two bedrooms, three bedrooms, house for 1,900. It's impossible.
All right, so two trains a day to get our children to school. That's the impact of it. Now, you want to bring us, Brian, to a couple of other parts of the country too.
Just briefly, Claire, I mean, the picture gets worse almost, if it can get worse, if you look at cities outside of Dublin and Cork, for example. Yesterday on daft.ie, just 20 properties for rent in Limerick City, just under 40 in Galway, 15 in Waterford City, and just two properties in Kilkenny City when I looked yesterday. And again, obviously, while daft.ie is not the full picture, it does give us a pretty good snapshot in time.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. Brian O'Connell, I'm joined in the studio by Lorcan Sir, lecturer in housing at the Technical University Dublin. Lorcan, you're very welcome. You've
Thanks,
been
Claire.
Listening to all of that, and I'm just struck by that mother saying, you know, I've got to get two trains to get my children to school. And what is the overall impact of this, you know, if we have so few properties to rent in our towns and cities around the country?
Oh, gosh, there's loads of impacts. There's social impacts and there's economic impacts. And we do, it's not that we have, yeah, obviously there's a shortage of them of properties to rent. But what we have going on, and I was struck listening to Brian there and the lady talking about, you know, landlords refusing HAP. Now, it's illegal to refuse HAP, but a lot of landlords do. They don't want HAP tenants in there. But when you think about, well, what's taking up the space in the rental sector, that means there's a shortage, you know, and Brian was referencing Limerick and Galway and places and in Dublin, you know, and when you go on websites like Airbnb, for example, in Dublin, there might be like 900 flats to rent in Dublin, but there's 3,500, there's more than 3,500 entire apartments, not rooms and houses, but entire apartments and houses on Airbnb. There's something like 500 in Galway. There's 18,000 of them around the country. If they're in a rent pressure zone, so an area where rents have been, you know, increasing quite rapidly, they're all illegal. Very few, you need planning permission. And there's a kind of a big blind eye being turned to them. So the short-term lets are taking up an awful lot of space there. And the other thing that's taking up a lot of space is our HAP tenants themselves. There's 68,000 households on HAP in the private rental sector that really shouldn't be there. It's not fair on them. I mean, they need accommodation. But what I'm saying to you, it's not fair that they should be put in there. This is a consequence of, you know, a lack of construction of social housing. That lady there and those people we heard, typically they would have got council housing over the years, you know, housing built by
but
the local
But they're competing with low budgets. So that woman, the first woman we heard from, she has 1,250 a month under HAP to spend on rent. And what she can find suitable for her needs is 3,000 euro.
Yeah, and there's a huge
impossible.
Problem there. And the irony is that the more HAP that you put in, the more people like that go into that sector, and of course an awful lot of them are getting that HAP allowance supplemented by the additional amount that local authorities can give as well. They're driving up rents for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem when you start to use the private rental sector as de facto social housing. It affects everybody, not just those people who are looking for HAP tenancies, but everybody else. You know, the rising tide is floating the rental boat for everybody.
Ronan Lyons said recently that there was a surge of 20,000 new apartments coming on the rental market in Dublin. These were the years between 2021 and 2023. And he said that had caused rent inflation to slow down. But are we building the right type of rental properties? That's the question, isn't it?
Well, rental inflation slowing down is still rental inflation. Where your rents go up. And what you see with these new built-to-rent apartments is that they drive up rents in an area because any new property that comes to the market, and this is kind of important to understand, any new property that comes to the market is not limited. They can set any rent they want when the property is new, whether that's an old house that hasn't been rented for 2 years or a brand new apartment like these 20,000 plus new built rents. And so what happens is they tend to cluster near each other, and people think of places like Chapel Isle in Dublin. You'll see over half of all the development there are built to rent apartments, and they drive up rents then for everybody else in that locality as well. I would argue, and I've made the case many times, that the rental sector, there's more than half of the people renting who don't want to be renters. They just do not. They want to be homeowners. And those who are lucky enough to be able to save a deposit, which is very difficult when you're paying, you know, an average of 2,000 euro a month rent, are finding that they have to move to Meath, Kildare, Wicklow, and now Westmeath and Longford. And of course, then what they're doing is they're commuting to work in a car. And then you see the headlines in the Irish Times today saying we're going to not meet our emissions targets. So these things have all knock-on effects all around the place. I would argue that we need to be not building. I think the rental sector is too big at the moment. And I think it probably should be half the size it is, and we need to get everybody who shouldn't be in the rental sector, which includes the HAP tenants and includes all the people who want to be homeowners, into home ownership and into proper public housing as such.
Yeah, just going back to the impact of this, I mean, if you can't rent a place in Portlaoise town, you're going to hollow out the centre of a place like that, and that has to be replicated right around the country.
What you see as rents become affordable, what happens is you begin to see two types of property. One is overcrowded substandard accommodation, and you see a lot of that around Dublin, particularly around places like the North Circular Road and that. And then you see very top end, you know, high end expensive accommodation. And the families in the middle, so the people who, you know, and say household income of 25 to 80,000 euro a year, which is substantial enough at the top, they suffer and they struggle. And they're your ordinary people. They are the people who get up early in the morning to, you know, to misquote Leo Varadkar. They're the people serving your sandwich in the deli in the morning, and they're commuting in from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So what you find is, extremes, and you see it in San Francisco and places like that. The uber wealthy, so in the case of Dublin, the people, the young people, 26 years of age on six-figure salaries, working in all the high-tech places, and then the uber poor. And the people in the middle, who are your average families and households and Joe Soaps and people who do, you know, drive the buses and make the sandwiches in the Spar, they're gone out farther and farther away. And you can see this in the CSO data, people leaving earlier for work every morning.
Now, you said there that a lot of people who are renting don't want to be renting, and the key really is to get them into their
home
own
ownership.
Homes.
Yeah.
But a quick fix, going back to what you said at the beginning, would be to address the short-term rentals.
Short-term lets.
Short-term lets, yeah, holiday lets.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy in a way to have, you know, I had a piece in the paper the other day, and I was saying that, you know, it's mad to have tourists living in apartments and have homeless families living in hotels. I mean, it should be the other way around, you know. And what we have is, it's wrong to have over 18,000 entire houses and apartments for rent on Airbnb, and a huge amount of them will be totally illegal. And it seems to me that A, there's a blind eye being turned to it by local authorities who should be enforcing this.
Because there's no legal fix needed. It's there.
Oh, the fix is there already, yeah. Now, I suspect the local authorities are being under resourced by the Department of Housing to go and sort this out. Now, in fairness, I have to be, you know, to be balanced about this, there are proposals in there to bring in a licensing system for people, say, on Airbnb. There are other platforms that do exist, whereby to register on Airbnb, you would need to provide your license number, and to get the license number from Fáilte Ireland, you would need to prove that you had planning permission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the EU, of all people, the European Commission, of all people, stepped in and stopped us doing that. They said that we hadn't made a case strong enough case, and also they didn't like the idea it was blanket, so it would apply in Cathair Sévigné as much as it does in Clontarf. Negotiations have been ongoing, and I think that's going to be resolved before the end of the year. But we need to be able to, you know, to put manners on our own housing stock. It's just wrong to have people struggling to find accommodation, and yet you have wealthy Norwegian tourists living in places that, you know, everybody else.
But for the EU, it's not just an Irish problem. It's happening all over the EU. And I heard a report from Majorca where they're out on the streets saying that we can't work in a hotel and have to commute for miles to get there when the tourists are all staying in the apartments.
And it's a European problem, and this is part of the reason why the European Commission came down on Ireland. It took a case against us and France, and I can't remember the third country, could have been Luxembourg or Belgium. It is European because the companies involved are pan-European. They're global companies, your Airbnb, your Booking.com, all those kind of companies. They operate in every country, so they have the same impact. And, you know, when I look at the numbers, I'm not involved in this, obviously, but, you know, I can make as much money renting out a property for 1 week in Donegal as I could being an ordinary landlord for a month.
There you go.
And that's kind of, you know, obviously part of the attraction.
All right, Lorcan, we'll leave it there. But thanks very much for coming in. That's Lorcan Sir from the Technical University Dublin. We're going to take a break. But coming up next, why plant-based milk alternatives might leave you a bit short on calcium. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.